Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And guess what we talk about here at the Outdoorsman Radio Show? Fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And we're going to cover a little bit of both today. Later on in the show at 6 o'clock hour, Mike Naylor from Maryland Department of Natural Resources will be here. He's got some good news for us. The budget has allowed for some funding to improve our freshwater lakes here in Maryland. And they've had some meetings up Western Maryland, Deep Creek Lake, and so forth, and in Southern Maryland, and they have a meeting on the Eastern Shore. So we boom into the Eastern Shore with this Outdoorsman Radio Show every Saturday morning, and if you're listening at 6 a.m., Mike will talk about a meeting on Monday, and he'll cover what's going on in the meeting and the freshwater lakes on the Eastern Shore that'll be affected by some of this funding. But what they're looking for is public input. So if you would like to have that, information, I'll be more than glad to mail you the link to it, and you can email you the link to it, and you can peruse that over the weekend, and maybe you'll make the meeting on Monday. So anyway, here we are. Last week was the opening day of the deer firearm season. Of course, I was out. I was with Jacob all weekend. We spent Saturday morning early. Headed to Cecil County on the farm I've been hunting for 23 years, and Jacob took his first buck and his second buck and his third buck and his fourth buck and his fifth buck 5 years in a row, including a beautiful, weird-looking 11-point that, outpointed anything his old paw, who's been hunting for, 50-some years, ever took. But that's okay. He's a young man. He's 19 now. He's in college at University of Maryland Baltimore campus. And we got to spend some time together in the woods. And so we started there. We left early in the morning. Well, we went out early in the morning. He sat on the ladder stand. I sat on my traditional box stand that I've been in for years. And we hunted for a while, had some deer running around between a few hunters, but neither Jacob or I actually spotted one. We had one fellow take a look at some, and the fellows on the other side and on our side later in the day actually took one or two or three deer. Nothing particularly special. We left before the rain, drove in the rain to Dorchester County in the afternoon, and spent the afternoon in the cover of some nice shooting houses and blinds. I sat in a redneck blind on the marsh with two shooting lanes, and not much activity. I think one of the guests there at camp did take a hind, a doe. So family was there from North Carolina. They wound up taking three hinds, and the mother and the two daughters. The father, he didn't know what he was particularly looking at when he saw a 4-point stag walk out in front of him. He thought it was pretty small, and it was, perfectly legal to take that. But this is a man used to dealing with black bears in North Carolina in the, 400-500-600-pound range. So, you see an 80-pound sick of deer, you're going to go, oh, well, look at that little thing. So that was Monday night. We stayed at camp, had some wonderful sick of deer chili. Was it good. Anyway, next morning we got up. I went to a redneck blind. Jacob went to another blind, and he saw a couple, nothing spectacular. I had one doe come out. It was a very weird morning. I mean, the corn feeders were going off, and normally, the deer gathered around the feeder before it goes off, but there wasn't much activity on the feeder. I saw one doe come out, and she was really, really kind of flaky. Now, a fellow had shot one there the night before, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but she was kind of, standoffish. She came into 50 yards and then went off to one side into phragmitis, and she came back out at 40 yards and went across on the other side, and she came back out. Anyway, long story short, about 740, 745, something like that. Now, the shooting house is, another redneck blind, and it's got windows on each corner. Okay, so I'm not looking out the front window because it's nothing but marsh in front of me. The back window's open because there's a shooting lane out the back, and then there's two 45 degree or basically shooting lanes off to either of these corner windows. The corn feeder is set up for bow hunting, muzzleloader, firearms. It's set up on the left-hand window. But Stag Alley, where I'd seen a big stag in muzzleloader season at 190 couple yards, is out on this right side. So I had the 300 mag set up on the Codwell tripod there, ready to go. You know, I'm sitting in the chair. All I have to do is lean into it, look through the scope, and you know, I'm right out there. Yeah, it's a pretty sweet setup, no question about it. Of course, the stag decides to come in on the other side in the other shooting lane at 150 yards, and he gave me about a 5 second window, 6, 8 seconds, whatever it was. It wasn't long. He walked out. He kept walking, and he was getting ready to go into the Phragmites and, you know, get the gun off the tripod, get a good rest, lean up against the side of the stand, you know, on my wrist, basically, try to find a target, squeeze the trigger. I missed. I had no idea if I'd hit or not. So it was a couple hours later. We took the Argo out through the shooting lane and got out of it and walked around. And the one fellow who has far more expertise at tracking sick deer than I have found where the deer had walked. You know, he found mud still because there wasn't much tidal flow at that point. Found mud where the sick deer had walked across this shooting lane and no sign of it, no sign of anything. So I missed. Well, I was, you know, it was an edgy shot. And anyway, back for Jacob didn't see anything, or maybe one something that he wasn't shooting. I think he saw a spike and he wasn't going to shoot it. So later in the day, we decide we're going to go across the street into the marsh. There's two stands over there, and I'm in a redneck blind. Jacob's in a shooting house. Feeders on both, and Jacob's got deer all around him. I've got deer coming in all around me, but there's no corn on the platform, so these deer are staging. So I've got a doe and a hind and a fawn. They come out of one corner of the marsh, the big marsh that I'm looking at. Now here again, one corner redneck blind's open, the other corner's not open, nor is the front window open, because that's where the deer would most easily spot you. The back window's open because it's open to marsh. The side window's open because that's where the deer are coming from, and there's short grass over there, so you can see them coming. I hope my descriptions are adequate for folks that are listening. I mean, it's just, you know, I understand it's a... So anyway, I'm to my left, I'm overlooking the marsh. To my right, in front of me, I'm looking out at a platform and a corn feeder. So the doe and the fawn are walking around the corn feeder, anticipating the feeder going off. Another doe and fawn come out of another corner of the marsh, the needle grass, the needle rush, whatever you want to call it. They come in, they're there on the feeder, and I look to my left, and I have no idea where the stag came from. He was just there, and he's running. I mean, he's loping into the feeder. Now, I don't know if he's looking for a doe, you know, hind for breeding, or, you know, if he's just coming because he's hungry. I have no idea. But the corn feeder hasn't gone off yet, so he's standing there at 15 yards. Switched out the 300 for the 270, so I put the scope on him, shot. The whole redneck blind went wum, 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 when I shot. So did the deer. Knew he was hit hard, you know. And then I had five or six deer going in five or six different directions. So it looked to me like the stag had gone to the right. Of course, my front window and my right window are closed. But I figure he's in a pile right over here to my right somewhere. He, you know, he couldn't have gone anywhere with 20-yard, 15-yard shot with a 270. He's not going anywhere. So I get down, and as I'm examining any evidence of a hit, there is hair where I've shot this deer. I know I've hit him, and an abundance of it, so I know he's hit pretty good. And then the feeder went off, and I got pelted with corn. But one of those things that happens. So long story short, the hair evidence shows that he goes to the right. There's hair in the little water there surrounding the platform. I can see the hair goes to the right, so he's to the right. So I walk along along the edge there and figuring he's got to be right here. He wasn't. So I've got an Argo track basically in the middle between the marsh, and I circle to the left, and I circle to the right, and I circle to the left, and I circle to the right, and I've got no evidence, no blood trail, nothing of any kind of hit. So when I'm off to the left, I think, okay, this deer looked like he went this way. But I don't want to lose it. So here was my prayer. On my knee, in the marsh, God, you sent me this gift. I don't want to waste it. I made the best shot I could make. I need your help to help me find this deer. So I hear a shot. Jacob hit one, knocked it down. Did not recover that animal. The animal left no blood trail. And I'm dead serious about this. These are tough animals. We had two top trackers looking for any sign of that deer. But the deer got up and ran. So Jacob, what do I do? I said, come on over and we'll wait for our ride. So I go back to the hare, and I'm looking for tracks in the marsh mud, and I find another set about, where the ran, and then I find one more track, and beyond that's the Argo Trail. So there's nothing, no mud, no sign, no way for an animal to leave a track anywhere ahead of this track. So I lay a shell casing down, and I get a direction on the track, and I stand back, and I look, and I go, okay, this deer, if he stayed true to this course, he is on the left. Jacob and I are both on the left. We're walking around, circling. So he's over here. Got to be over here. Another prayer goes up. Now it's getting pretty dark. Another prayer goes up. So instead of keeping the circle going, I head off looking for a trail. And lo and behold, I find a trail that I've never seen a trail like this for sick of deer in my life. This trail is only about a foot wide. Of course, they're not very deep. They're a very wide animal, okay? But there is no vegetation in the trail. This trail has been tromped down by so many deer, and it just simply winds through the short grass and then winds through the reeds, and then it goes out into the Phragmites. And I'm thinking, well, if he got anywhere, he had to go down this trail. And lo and behold, 75 yards from the stand, I found the deer laying in the middle of the trail. So thanks be to God for that one. That was a gift. So it was a nice stag. It was a 5-point. It was an average size stag, and I was very happy with it. Jacob never did find his deer. Of course, it's dark, and now we go home. So very blessed. Very blessed. Didn't get out again this week till, what day did I go? Thursday, I guess. Thursday morning. No deer. I haven't seen a whitetail yet until Friday afternoon. I went out on a new piece of property, was scouting it, and I decided to sit for a little bit and see what happened in this one little finger, and a doe busted me. She came out of this this little pine setting. She busted me, and I sat there, and about 45 minutes I saw legs out in the field through the brush on the fence line. Peeked up over the top of the brush. She busted me again, same doe. Off she ran. And I saw two more back, little opening behind me, 150 yards away. And those are my encounters with a whitetail for the week. Nothing really spectacular about whitetail hunting this week. So, we have meat in the freezer. Very happy to have sick of deer. Robin doesn't need a lot of whitetail, if any, but she loves sick of deer. So, That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You all are welcome to call 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. I'd like to hear about your deer hunting adventure, your family's deer hunting adventure, and we are giving a muzzleloader away today. Here's what happens today when you call. Chris will answer your phone. Answer the phone. He'll ask for your name and your phone number. You not only will you be in the running for the November, because we were pre-recorded last week, you'll be in running for the November contest, but you will automatically be put into December contest. So that's how we do it. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Bay Country Bakery in Cambridge serves not only a great breakfast, 6 to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday and all day Saturday, but they have some of the most delicious fresh-baked donuts, pastries, cookies, and breads on the entire Maryland Eastern Shore. I will extend that to say the Delmarva Peninsula. There's enough for everyone in camp. Now, when I'm on Route 50 heading to or from the deer stand or duck or goose blind, my mouth and my belly can't wait to stop at the Bay Country Bakery for a donut or a sandwich and a fresh cup of hot coffee. I just look for that big donut on the side of the bakery and a chocolate donut on the front side, highway sign. And even after your morning hunt from 11 till 2, you can grab a tasty lunch right there at Bay Country Bakery. Dave and Gina Levy, your hosts, are trained chefs. They strive to bring you the best. Bay Country Bakery, located at 2951 Coastal Highway, just through Cambridge on Route 50. And I say 2951 Coastal Highway, but for those of you who are, dependent on your GPS, think Big Donut. That's it. Visit their website, like their Facebook page, Bay Country Bakery. Be sure to stop by, say hello. Maybe you'll see Robin and me there. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. You know, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plan, but it came undone when it got around to God and guns. Well, I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong.
All right, let's talk to Chuck over there in Hampstead. Hey, buddy. How you doing, Chuck?
Pretty good. How you doing, Alan?
Good, man. What's going on?
I want to get in December's contest, and then also, you already know, but I had a pretty good week.
Yeah, you did.
I got one with a bow last the Monday before gun season.
Right.
And then last weekend, the group that I was hunting with, there were six of us, two of the guys, one guy got a spike, one guy got a doe.
Yep.
And then up in Emmitsburg, we were dealing with slippery ice and sleet and stuff like that, so we didn't go back out yet.
And, yeah, you had a mess up there.
Yeah, and then Sunday I went out and my usual blind, and at about 10 minutes, between 10 minutes and 5 minutes off seven, which was sunrise, but it's still shooting hours. I just happened to notice something move near the apple pile and stump where I keep my trophy rock, and I had a little doe going into my apples.
Ah.
Well, to say the least, it didn't leave.
It didn't leave, huh?
Well, it did. It went about 40 yards, but.
Well, but you got meat in the freezer.
Yeah. And then 20 after 7, another doe just materialized in the apples, and she didn't go very far at all. She dropped where she was standing.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yep. So, I just sat in the blind and waited until the rest of the guys were ready to go in, and they came and helped me recover.
You got it. Well,
the first doe didn't leave me any blood. I found one spot where there was fur as it were left,
yep,
left my food plot.
Right.
And I tried following it and did find one drop of blood, and then I didn't find anything.
Right.
Well, I was going to sit down and just sit down on a stump and just overlook the side hill. So as I turned around to sit down, well, there's my deer laying down halfway, a little bit down the hill.
Well, there you go. You made a good shot.
Away.
Yep.
And then actually, you could see both deer where they lay from my blind.
No, nothing wrong with that. That's easy recovery. Yeah, good.
Yes, it was. So I'm pulling into Bob's right now and going to get changed and head out again.
Well, enjoy your day, buddy. Good luck.
Thanks. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Chuck. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes. Stan, Mr. Stan, the truck driver man. How you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to sit still. It's not working for me.
Why?
Well, I'm working hours. I got it.
So you are working.
Yeah. I just wanted to say hi if he's listening. Or one of my friends, Chris, another driver for the company, who usually listens to the show, just went past my exit. I saw him climbing up Wilkins Avenue Hill. Mr. Allen, I ain't never, but I did this morning.
I ain't never what?
I ain't never seen a deer like this in my life.
Oh?
Well, unfortunately or not, I live in Baltimore City. I was coming out 295 southbound to the Beltway.
Right.
Taking the ramp, I guess you would call it southwest, heading toward 97 in Glen Burnie where I work.
Right.
I was slowing down to take the ramp at about 30 mile an hour. I said, holy crap, a flipping cow.
Wow.
It wasn't a cow.
That big of a deer, huh?
And it was, I have never seen a deer like this in my life. It wasn't spotted black and white. It looked like a Guernsey.
Oh, piebald.
If that's what it is, I mean, the big patches of white and brown.
Yep. Buck or doe. Buck or doe, couldn't you tell?
I was in a state of, what the heck?
Yep, piebald.
And I really could, and I've never seen anything like that in my years. It was beautiful.
Oh, they're gorgeous. Yeah, very, very interesting. They're not, you know, the point is arguable whether they're good or bad, but the arrival of those features where you have patches of white and patches of brown, that's called a piebald, P-I-E-B-A-L-D, buck or animal. Okay, and it's a recessive genetic showing of albinism. Okay, the albino gene is trying to get out. And what happens in a lot of these cases, these deer are not necessarily healthy. They sometimes are deaf. They sometimes have an undershot jaw or a big Roman nose. They sometimes have arthritic legs. Their front legs tend to be, jacked up a little bit. Some of them are deaf. Most of them are sterile. So, I mean, it's not a real good place to be if you're a piebald deer. But they do make an interesting observation. I've only ever seen a couple in the wild. I've only ever seen one in a hunting situation, and it was a really weird black and white and brown thing that was just not very attractive as you think of a beautiful deer. A fella did take it that night that was hunting on the same farm with a bow. I figured it was
genetic. But
yeah, definitely genetic.
It was just amazing to see.
Right, right.
But as long as it's good with flour, salt, and pepper, I almost got him.
No, they're good. Yeah, a little mushroom gravy, it's all good. Some smothered onions, yeah, man, absolutely.
And a bottle of hot sauce.
Well, if that's what you want, yep.
No, I missed them. This is the only vehicle I have for work.
So. I got it. Hey, Stan, we got to roll. Appreciate
all
it.
Right,
and you
got to
roll. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For the story. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
There goes Stan. There's Billy. Good morning, Billy. Are you, I know you're in the stand, right?
Yeah.
You're in Howard County. All right.
Howard County, and it's, what a beautiful day. Oh,
yes,
my God.
Yes, I'm sure.
It's calm, probably about 35 degrees.
Yeah. Perfect hunting day.
Half moon.
Perfect hunting day.
Perfect.
Yep. Well, you enjoy that, man.
Oh, man, I love it.
All right.
And, you know, there's two big ones back here.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a shot at them, but today will be the day, I hope.
Today will be the day. Let me know, okay?
Hey, you know, I missed the end of your story because I had to get out of my tree stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Sick of deer. Did you find it?
Yeah, I wound up finding. God led me right to it. Okay, I walked in on this. I finally found a big, deep trail that was farther out than anything I'd looked before, and I walked down it, and there he was, about 75 yards out in the trail.
Well, there's a lot to be said about praise.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
Many a times.
Yep. You pray for safety when you're in that stand. You pray that, you know, you make a clean, quick kill. You pray that, God watches over all the other hunters in the stand. You pray that, if you'd see a deer, don't let the deer see you. Yeah. So all kinds of things.
So. Yep.
All right, okay, hey, enjoy your day.
Good talking to you. I'll keep in touch.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. Let's talk to Dan in Harford County. Good morning, Dan. How are you? Dan?
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Doing well, Dan. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm headed up Harford County with my Savage 220 right now.
That's a wonderful gun. That Savage 220 bolt action, absolutely a wonderful gun.
Yes, sir. Saw a big one last night just before dark.
Uh-huh.
And it was 175 yards away, and I really didn't trust myself to make that shot. So I tried stalking it, but by the time I got within a good range, I think it spotted me, and it was gone.
Yep. Well, that Savage will do that if you sighted it in properly. I don't know if you sighted it in at 50 or 100 yards, but...
No, I'm shooting 5-inch groups at 200, but under the conditions last night, I just didn't feel good about it.
Hey, look, it's better to err on the side of caution rather than be tracking a wounded deer again this morning, you know? So,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, that Savage 220 will do it. There's no question. You got to have a good rest, though, as with any situation. You don't have a good rest, that's half the battle, you know?
Yeah, well, that was the problem. I didn't have a good enough rest to make that shot.
Yep. Well, and neither did I on that 150-yard shot on the sick of deer. I mean, you know, a 200-yard shot with a 300 Magnum. I took my bear at 200 yards. I've taken animals, you know, far, far, farther than that with 270 and 257 Weatherby. And that sick of deer should have been a chip shot for the 300. But you know what? when you miss, you miss. It doesn't matter if you miss by an inch or miss by, you know, 6 inches or, you know, 3 feet. It's a miss. And I'm glad I can claim a clean miss on that one. So it is what it is.
Well, I got a 1,000-yard, 300-wind mag being made for me right now to take bear hunting in Montana in the spring.
Wow. Wow.
This way, if I miss, I won't be able to play my equipment.
Yeah, well, you know, I know people that shoot, these 500-yard muzzle loaders, you know, that are custom made and that type of thing. So, you know, good luck out there. It's becoming quite a thing with the long distance shooting. I don't hunt anywhere where I need to do that. So, but I appreciate it, Dan. You have a wonderful day. Good luck on that big boy. Let me know if you get him.
Thank you, Alan, and same to you.
All right, we'll measure them up for bucks, bears, stags. You have a wonderful day. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yep, there he goes. All right. Hey, look who this is. Well, good morning, friend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, girl?
I'm doing fine, thank God. I got a big kick out of your hunting story, as I usually do.
Yep.
I have to admit, I kind of giggled when you said the corn feeder opened on you.
Nah. Yeah, I got pelted with corn. Yeah.
I kind of giggled, got a kick.
And, you know, when I'm standing there in the dark, it's dark now, dark, and it's 6:30. You know, I can hear deer walking all around me. I'm hearing them jump up on the platform and get the corn and all that stuff. It's like, okay, be that way.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I heard all the guys, you telling your story and hunting with Jacob, and then Chuck called in.
Yeah, he got a couple.
His success, he's just showing off. And then Stan called in.
Yeah, with the piebald. Isn't that crazy?
And I'll tell you, so, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because I tried going hunting once last year.
Right.
But, you know, once you try it, it's like it kind of gets in your system.
You want to do it,
and
yeah.
You feel kind of like anxious that you didn't get back out there, you know.
I hear you.
And so I said, well, all right, this year, I'm trying to get my body in the best condition I can get in.
Sure.
So I've been going to doctors, okay, check this part out, check that part out.
Yeah.
You know, so that when I do go out again, I'll be in the best shape I can be, God willing.
God willing.
And so it was pretty nice listening to the show this morning, and I've been up, and I made sure I was woke at 12:01, right? Because it's my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Should we play the Beatles for you, or should I just sing?
I've been partying all night. I was 12:01. I said, okay, the party starts, you know. And I've been watching movies, eating, doing, you know, just everything. I says, well, I made it to the next year.
Right.
You know, so, and then I topped it off with your show and your hunting story. And then all the guys started calling in.
You know, and
I just feel anxious.
Here you go.
So anyway, I just called.
Hang on.
Oh.
Now you can party all day, friend.
Yeah, honey.
All right, girl. Hey, listen. You were yelling at me about my health, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, for the last 4 months, I've been very disciplined. I log every bite of food.
Mm.
I check my sugar 4 times a day.
Mm.
I take my insulin. And my A1C went from 11.4 to 6.3.
Wow.
In 4 months. I've lost 5 pounds, 6 pounds now.
Oh.
And I'm feeling healthy. All my cholesterol numbers are perfect.
Oh.
So I'm in as good a shape as I've been in a long time.
I'm proud of you.
Yep. You gotta just gotta get disciplined and dedicated to it.
That's right.
It.
That's right. So, yep. Some things are in your control.
That's true, and that is.
It's under your control to a point. That's right.
That's right.
Oh, I'm proud of you. I heard you talking about the bakery place last week.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And you were saying, and you were talking about how good the donuts
are. They are good.
And I thought, oh, I hope he's not slipping.
Not one bit, no. I mean, on occasion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's tempting. You can, you know.
Yeah.
It's tempting.
So,
well,
Miss Robin says, morning, Chuck, and happy birthday to Fran.
Thank you, Robin.
Yep,
thank
she's down there in the house. So.
You know, all of us are blessed when we look at what's going on around us. If we still have most of our life halfway intact.
That's right.
We have been blessed this year.
That's true.
All right. Well,
hi, girl. Well, happy birthday. Talk soon.
You.
Hey,
all
by
right.
the way, February 7th. We're not on Lawyers Mall. We are feet away from it in front of the House, in front of the House of Representatives. Okay?
Oh, okay.
There's a grassy area there we can gather. So February 7th, Blazing Camo Day for everybody
February
out
2nd,
there.
Right?
February 7th.
Oh, 7th. Oh,
February
that's
7th. Yep,
that
that's Blazing Camo Day. Hunting Coalition members will receive notice of that on a newsletter. And if you haven't joined, it's very simple to do. mdhuntingcoalition.org. Free to join, and you get the newsletter, find out what we're doing legislatively. We've got some plans going on there. We've been talking to lawmakers. We're crafting letters and so forth. We've been active all year. And, you know, it's rocking and rolling. So session
all
coming
right.
up.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, girl. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we go. And we got Captain Don in Stony Beach. Good morning, Captain.
Happy birthday, Miss Fran. Happy birthday to you. How's that?
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, happy birthday, Miss Fran.
There you go, buddy.
G. Robin and Miss Robin at home. And
yep.
Mr. Allen, hey,
yep.
I'm calling to enter the contest.
All right.
I've been kind of out of touch for a number of reasons, but what's going on with the Conowingo? Are they doing their nasty up there again?
Yeah, they've been dumping a bunch of water. I mean, they've had record rainfalls up in Pennsylvania, so they've got to get rid of the water somehow or another. And of course, there was a big article in the Sun about it, about, you know, Conowingo flooding the bay again. The watermen are complaining, and understood. But, you know, what are we supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
You know, what are they supposed to do with it? So.
Yeah.
You know, Exelon, they always get painted as the bad guys, but, you know, when the power goes out, who are you going to call?
Right.
So.
I guess there's no alternative. I think the governor was trying to figure out some ways to minimize, I guess, the debris that was coming through, but.
Yep.
I guess that's a Herculean effort. But anyway.
Can't fight Mother Nature, my friend.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You know.
Well, anyway,
hey, look, I got a question. How about a retrieval crew? How about somebody led by the different watermen's association, get all the boats up there at the mouth of the river and, you know, equip them with a certain kind of recovery gear and see what happens, see if they can go snag some of that debris coming down through. It's not going to help the silt problem. You know, there's still going to be a ton of silt, but if you're worried about the debris, well, you know, what are you going to do about it? Hey, but as long as the federal government's willing to throw money at a project for the Chesapeake Bay, the watermen are willing to help. Okay?
Hmm.
Barbara Mikulski got, $16 million a few years back for the Ghost Crab Pot Recovery Program. And the watermen's jumped right to the challenge because they're getting paid to go out there and pull up those old rusty, nasty ghost crab traps. When the money stopped, who's in charge? I haven't heard a word about ghost crab traps in 5 years.
Well,
maybe one of the watermen wants to call me up and tell me that there's something still going on, but, you know, Chesapeake Bay Foundation, you know, they're celebrating the victory of the in the House by the Democrats, and, you know, that's going to be somehow able to stop the policies of the Trump administration, because, of course, you know, Donald Trump personally is I don't know if he's peeing in the bay and killing it or what the reason is, but, you know, he's the most horrible thing that ever came along for the Chesapeake Bay. So, you know, on the back of that, of course, send us money and that'll help us, you know.
Wow.
You know, it is what it is.
Well, some of that information, I guess, needs to be put out there, because what you're saying right now is I don't actually think I've heard that perspective before, but again, you know, I'm not tuned into a lot of these organizations in the Bay talk, but I like to fish, you know.
Yeah, well, you ought to get on their website.
Okay, now, not going to hold you, but which website should I go to first, just to get an inkling of what's going on?
For what?
For the activities going on regarding the monies that are going toward the Bay. What you were just saying about the Trump administration's work or non-work on the Bay. Is there a website that really articulates this stuff?
Well, that would be Chesapeake Bay Foundation, cbf.org if you want.
Uh-huh.
Stay up to date on the critical issues we're advocating for in the 2019 Maryland legislative session. You know, mm-hmm. The silt it's being dumped into the Bay is killing, you know, the oysters. But, the oysters don't have a shot in the Upper Bay anyway. MSX and Dermo are still endemic in the population. And, you know, but CBF can fix it. Just send them money. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're suing the Environmental Protection Agency. You know, take a look.
Yeah.
Take a look.
Yeah. I'll take a look.
Yep.
All right, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you. Take
See you,
care.
Don. Bye-bye. Yep. This administration fired one of the best guys that we had in the mix for the oyster restoration, if there was going to be such a thing, and that was a former director of fisheries. So, you know, everything's political, isn't it? Let me tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Outdoors. Oh, my gosh. I was in there the other day, and, of course, the hunters are in there. The waterfowlers were in there that day. The deer hunters were in there getting ready to go. Everything you need for deer hunting, from ammo to cover scents to attractive scents to muzzleloader stuff to, I don't know, tree stands and supplements like, you know, apple cracker and, you know, some of that stuff. The Rambo electric bikes, firearms, ammunition from Remington, Chiapa, CVA, Thompson Center muzzle loaders, banded camouflage clothing for the waterfowlers and scent lock apparel for the deer hunters. Raven crossbows, Excalibur crossbows, Mission, 10 Point, Carbon Express, Barnett, Matthews compound bows. They do all the tuning work, too, with custom arrows and bow tuning and accessories and setup. I knew what it was. They put a new scope on my, on my new muzzleloader from CVA. That's what they did. Costa sunglasses, Yeti coolers and bags and tumblers and all that. And in season, waterfowl picking. Get that goose or duck taken care of after you bag it, take it in there, and they'll get it ready for the table. Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road. That's on Ken Island. That's Chesapeake Outdoors, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East, exit 39B, Dominion Road, right there on Ken Island in Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500, 604-2500.
A wet forecast to kick off December this weekend here in Baltimore. Some half-inch plus rainfall totals coming up in the southwest. This is a Pacific weather system that's crossed the country, so it's got mild, warm air with it and loaded down with moisture. Our temps here this afternoon in the mid-40s. Our low tonight, 43, with rain likely. And then rain showers and thunder showers for the first half of Sunday, warm, with a high of 65 degrees. I'm Scott Lariamore at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800, 410-455-0800, Linex. Hey, you know what? I have my 300 that I missed at Sycadeer with is spot on. It was just a loose nut behind the trigger that threw that shot off, and that would have been me. But that's my old Browning A-Bolt 300, and I have been extremely satisfied with that Browning. That's my only Browning that I have, believe it or not. If you're looking for a new firearm, new rifle, I'm going to recommend the AB3 Hunter. It's an outstanding big game value package. It comes equipped from the factory with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. Comes in 243, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm 08, 7mm Remington mag, and 300 Win mag. Synthetic or wood stock. It's a great value from Clyde Sports Shop. Now, that's just one select rifle. Here's a pump shotgun for you. Now, in 12 and 20 gauge rifle barrel deer models are available in the BPS pump, but it comes for any gauge, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10 gauge for all your other hunting applications. It's the BPS pump with bottom ejection, a DuraTouch armor coating, Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo finish, and the the shotgun models, the choke models, have three Invector Plus choke tubes with it. It's the BPS pump and the AB300, both from Browning, both from Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Well, for almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx. It's an app for your phone or for your GPS to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt, O-N-X, Hunt, is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. So whether it's on your smartphone or your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Radio 680
WCPM. I ain't never shot no big rag buck. No one ever stops to peek in the bed of my truck. I come home empty-handed 'cause I got no luck. Yeah, pretty bad at hunting deer. I watch their shows on my TV.
Spooks Band's my hero, got a crush on Tiffany. The bone collector Michael Waddell makes it look easy, but I'm pretty bad at hunting deer. I wear my rubber boots, I got a Ziploc suit, around a bag of gum.
Yeah, that's the way I feel this week. I'm pretty bad at hunting deer. It is, it really is, you know. But I'm not. I'm happy, you know. Thank God for, you know, helping me locate that stag or, you know, point me in the right direction. So here we are. We're about out of time. I don't think we can take any more calls from Muzzleloader Contest right now. How many names you get this morning? Okay. Very good. So they'll all be added to the November list, and then we'll start with that list for December. So that's good. All right. So we got a fair amount of names here to pick from today, and that'll be next hour. Mike Naylor's coming up next, and we'll keep taking your calls from Muzzleloader Contest. While Mike is on, we won't require you to go on the air. How's that sound? Okay. So keep them coming, and then sometime around maybe 6:45, something like that, 6:40, whenever. We'll pull the name for the November winner and send it off to CVA, see what you get. So, I don't hear the music yet, but that's on me because I didn't look at the time correctly. Yes, we do have to stretch it out a little bit. So, all right. there it is. Yeah, so Miss Robin's texting me. She loves Captain Don's singing voice, by the way. And, oh, to our buddies in Pennsylvania, doe season starts today. So Dave Levitt, our director from the Maryland Hunting Coalition, he's up there. I know he was up there in archery season. There's a big 10-point running around, and I'm thinking that might still be legal, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they're up there to, you know, put some meat in the freezer. So Dave did kill a nice buck out in Baltimore County with his bow not long ago. So good luck to all the hunters out there today. I know you're going to be leaving me. Everybody's getting in their stand now because it's 30 minutes or 25 minutes to legal shooting time. So good luck to all the hunters out there. And, hey, if you're successful in the first hour, you know, first 45 minutes, give us a call and say, I just got one. Get out, stay safe.